Okay. Afternoon to you guys. Nice to see everybody again. We're going to look at a tremendously insightful theme that exists in the commentary, in the writings of Reb Chaim Volozhiner and the Nefesh HaChaim with regard to a chiddush that he pens, attempting to explain the nature of the vision that Yaakov has that we read in Parshat Vayetze. Now, let's. I'm just going to try and see if I can find a photocopy for you. Maybe I'll be able to share my screen with you. Let me see. Okay, I'll start the shiur and then we'll see if we can get into it. Okay, so the pasuk tells us as follows that Yaakov Avinu, in his flight from his home as a result of the enmity incurred from Esav, finds him midway on the journey via Chalom, sleeping on the site of the Beit HaMikdash, and he sees this ladder in his dream. Now the pasuk describes that the ladder was Mutzav Arza. Now, when you have to translate that particular phrase, directly from the Chumash, what you end up doing is you'll see that some of the real issues get lost in the translation, because what you see from here is that the actual ladder. It's interesting to work out where the start of the ladder is and where does it finish. Where's the beginning and where's the end of the ladder? So we would simply, or we've always been taught to read the story as Vinei Sulam Mutzav Arza, the ladder was firmly on the ground. So the feet of the ladder are on the ground. Veroshah, and the head of the ladder is Magia Shamayma, reaches heavenward. Vinei Malachai Elokim Olim V'Yordimbo. And the Malachim of Hashem are going up and down this ladder. Now, if we actually look at the actual syntax or the grammar of the actual Hebrew words, we'll see something that is actually difficult to explain. And this is Reb Chaim's first set of questions. And I'm just going to try and see if I can share the screen with you. I just took a photocopy of the Sefer. Let me see. No, I just can't, don't know where this is. No, it's not happening for me. Give me a sec. I'm gonna take a photo of it and then send it to you. Yeah, easiest. I just like you to see the actual text inside. Let me do it this way. All right. Here it comes. Okay. You can tell me if you've got it. I think you should have it there by now. Just let me know if it hasn't come through to you. But I think I can.
Yeah, got it.
You got it? Okay. Fantastic. All right. So let's look at this. This is a piece by Reb Chaim. Okay, so Says Reb Chaim, now we are on page Samach Dalad, page Samach Dalad, and we are the last paragraph on the page. Okay? So yeah, this is what he asks. He says, "Vehu inyan mare hasulam mutzav arza." I'm going to explain. He's already given a whole Kabbalistic introduction to this, but from our point of view, this is good enough. He says, "Let's explain the whole concept of the sulam." Okay, what's the story? So he says like this. He says, when you read the pasuk says, "Mutzav arza." Now, mutzav arza, as I say colloquially, we always just translate it as it's standing firmly on the ground. The word nitzav means to be established firmly. Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem. You're all standing here. So the shoresh, the root of the word, is to stand established, strong. And the word eretz, as you know, is land. So mutzav arza, you know, the so-called basic translation would be, and the feet of the ladder are firmly planted on the ground. Says Reb Chaim, but that's not what it says. Look carefully again. He says, when you say that I'm going Yerushalayma, it's a poetic Hebrew way of saying toward Yerushalayim. Efrata, towards Efrat. Yeah, Arutza means toward the ground. So the actual accurate way of interpreting the phrase here is actually challenging, because you have a tautology. You have two words which seem to contradict each other, and they can't exist in the same sentence. On the one hand, you've got this ladder which is mutzav, completely established, strong, standing firm. The second word, arza, means, but it's not on the ground, it's going towards the ground. So how do you deal with that? Either it's on the ground or it's going towards the ground. And if it's going towards the ground, it can't be mutzav. Says Reb Chaim, velo amar mutzav ba'aretz, ela arza, sheperusho la'aretz. If the Torah wanted to tell you that the feet of the ladder are actually firmly placed on terra firma, on the ground, the pasuk should have said that the sulam was mutzav ba'aretz. Then it's like clear. It's established firmly on the ground. But it says, arza, sheperusho la'aretz, the ladder hasn't reached the ground yet properly. It's going towards the ground. Yaakov Avinu is seeing a vision of a ladder unfolding towards the actual earth. Umashmao, sherosh ikar, shorsho, which implies that the start of the ladder, the head of the ladder, or we would say the start of the ladder, we would probably say the feet of the ladder, but it means the start of the ladder is actually in Shamayim. The ladder starts to unfold from Shamayim towards the earth. Umashmo shirosh ikar shorsho ba Shamayim imal. Umisham hu mishtalshel yoreid ad la'aretz yagia. And from Shamayim, the ladder starts to unfold towards earth. So you want to say like this. So what's going on here? What is this vision? What does this whole thing about the ladder really mean? So we know the classic Meforshim talk about, quoting Midrashim, about Yaakov Avinu being shown Am Yisrael's enemies and all those cultures that will threaten us, and the various Malachim going up and down. You know, this is the classic interpretation. But listen to this amazing insight here. Says Reb Chaim, this whole story of the ladder, it's not about a ladder. What's the sulam? He says, Reb Chaim says, the word sulam, ladder, is code word. V'hu nishmat chayim shel adam. The whole concept of the ladder represents the soul of human beings. Sulam equals soul, neshama. And the vision of the ladder is a story that Akosh Baruch Hu shares with Yaakov Avinu for a specific purpose. I'm suggesting that he's going to demonstrate the power of the Jewish neshama to Yaakov Avinu as he leaves Eretz Israel on his way to Golus, and he's going to show him, he's going to give him chizuk on his way, that you should realize, Yaakov Avinu, that you have within you a neshama which is going to give birth to other neshamas and bring down to the world a nation of Klal Yisrael whose neshamas are me'alu me'ever. They are impossible to really compare them to any other culture or neshamas of other human beings. And this is how this vision needs to be interpreted. Says Reb Chaim like this: this ladder represents the nishmat chayim shel adam shemitatzelet kevyachol min nishmat piv yitbarach shemo. Where do souls start their journey? Where are they from? In a lovely essay by Rebbe Kaplan Zatzal, he says it beautifully in one of those essays, where he talks about the neshama being the soul is really a byte of information that is extracted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite database. And the neshama, the byte of information, is really a mission statement, that a tafkid, a task that HaKadosh Baruch Hu extracts from his mind, kivyachol, so to speak, and that divine information is then imprinted on a SIM card and inserted in a phone. Metaphorically, the phone is a human being. The SIM card is an element of the human being which houses this divine life source, this information, which drives the human being's life. And so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes this information and it goes through a process which is represented by rungs on a ladder. And as this process evolves, that piece of information gets physical form and is bound up with the actual physical body of the human being. So it starts from the Neshimat Piv, it starts from the so-called mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through the breath travels down a series of levels, spiritual levels, until eventually it reaches the human being and is born into this world. Umisham mishtal shelet, it unfolds kasulam bishal shelet, like a chain, like a set of rungs on a ropey ladder, and it goes down different phases of development in the conversion from purely spiritual to the ability to stay as a hybrid in a physical body. It needs to go through a certain level of evolution, if you will. So it starts purely spiritual in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. It then takes on a certain kind of spiritual existence, which is of a lower level than its original source, but it's still of a very high level, until eventually it gets down, you know, to the body of a human being, and is born. And this is what he means here: umit kasheret im haruach, varuach banefesh, ad ridata lezeh haolam begufa adam. This is the description of how the neshama actually reaches us here, you know, on earth. On to the next page, Samechei. V'chein meforash b'raya mehemna in Parshat Naso. Yeah, the Raya Mehemna, this Kabbalistic source, explains the following. V'yipach b'apav nishmat chayim, when the Torah says, at the beginning of Hashem creating the human being, Adam, says that he blew within him a soul, a nishmat chayim. And the And the Raya Mehemna, you know, expands on that and says, the Itmar Bay, as it says, like he makes the connection himself, as it says, Vayachalom v'inei sulam. You know, he dreamed and there was a ladder. Sulam vadai ihi nishmat chayim. In other words, there's no question about it. The concept of sulam is absolutely identified with a soul. That's the chidush over here. I just wanted to quickly, I was looking it up, so I just wanted to give you a quick where did I see it? No, I didn't see it. Yeah, I thought I would see just an introduction to the sefer, but okay, let's move on. Now, the second part of the statement. So you have this sulam mutsav arutza. It's establishing itself while moving toward the ground. Sulam equals neshoma. The second part of the pasuk. V'inei malachei Elokim olim v'yordim bo. And the angels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are ascending and descending on this ladder. Now, what does this mean? How do we interpret this concept that that the angels now are traveling up and down this ladder? Okay, so we need to appreciate the following. The malachim, if the ladder was as we would regularly interpret, if the ladder started on the ground and then ascended upwards, you know, we would understand that the angels, you know, are going to travel up and down on this ladder. But look what's happening here in the pasuk. The pasuk is telling us that the angels are olim v'yordim bo. They first ascend and then they descend. But malachim are spiritual beings. The source of all spiritual beings is ultimately in Shamayim. So if angels begin their mission in Shamayim as spiritual beings and are sent from Shamayim down to do their tafkid on earth, then they should say Yordim v'olimbo. But it says Olim v'yordimbo. Therefore, we have to reinterpret this. Now, the way we started interpreting this by Reb Chaim is that the ladder starts in Shamayim. That's the start of the ladder. That's good. And the neshama travels down that ladder. But what are the angels? The angels, you know, should be Yordim first and not Olim. So he says like this. He says, appreciate the following. The concept of angels needs to be understood in a much more sophisticated way. You see, a human being is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and given all the kalim that it needs to fulfill its mission. And that is then coupled with the challenge of Bechira Chofshit, freedom of choice. And the freedom of choice, of course, challenges us to make right decisions for every action, for every thought, for every deed, for every anything. It's all really processed through our challenge of how to use the koyach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Now, if a person says something, once they've reached a level of maturity that they held responsible for their actions, or they do something, so every action generates an energy. And we're going to call the energy that is generated by a human being's activities an angel. A malach is kind of like a metaphor to describe the actual results, the energy that results from a human being's actions. And so let's appreciate over here what's being stated. The neshama starts in Shamayim. travels down the ladder, or travels down as a ladder would unfold, until eventually it reaches the human being on earth. The human being is born and then is educated, and eventually reaches maturity, and now you have to take responsibility for your decisions and your actions. And the minute you start being mitafked in this world, whatever you do generates a malach, it generates an energy. And here's the chidush. That malach, that energy has impact. It has impact upon the world in which we live, upon yourself, upon people around you. And the level of impact is described in such a way that the energy travels back up the ladder. The malach is ascending on that ladder, and the impact is the yiridah back down to earth of your maisim. And so you go up, and then the angels that are ole are the energies generated from a human being's activities, and the malachim that are your raid is the consequences of that action and the impact it's about to have upon the world in which we live. And this is what he's trying to say in this piece.
So, Rav, are we saying that the malachim, that when it comes back down, is it in your world or is it in the greater world, like the bigger picture?
Both. Every action has a reaction. You know, so essentially, what's happening over here is that, let's just quickly read it inside. He says, what does this mean? V'nai malachei Elokim olim v'yordim bo. Kamo shekatavti le'el bo'orech, as I've written at length in a piece above, shehi ha'nefesh chaya shel ha'olamot v'akochot u'malachei elyon, shekol aliyatam v'yiridatam. The entire concept of ascending and descending, v'chol sidrei hanagadam kol rega, and the whole ordered existence, every moment, talui rak kafi netiat maaseh dibura u'machshavta, Begufa Adam Korega, is a reaction and depends upon the bend of every single human being's actions, speech, and thoughts. That's the idea. Umashe Katuv Olim Tchila, and this idea that the pasuk relates to us that there's an ascension first, va'achakach yordim. Followed by a yirida, he called ikar Torah Adam la'alot tchila kol olam imata lemala. He says the whole nature of the human being is to ascend with the energies that you've created in order for the impact to match what you've achieved, and that's represented by the angels coming down. And the lights, the so-called impact of your actions, speech, and deeds, you know, is essentially coming down from Shamayim back down to earth. And that's what it means, you know, coming, you know, Hashem Baruch Hu Nitzav Alav. This is the idea of Akush Baruch Hu, you know, being established, so to speak, or watching this whole particular, you know, exercise. Now, there's the piece that he refers to, the piece that he refers to above, is a fascinating piece as well, and essentially he states that. I wonder if I can find the actual piece. While I'm talking to you, I'll just pull it out of the safe there. Just got an Nefesh HaChaim over here. Okay, let me just quickly. take a picture of this. Yeah, this is just a little bit before this. Sorry. Yeah, I'm just going to quickly take a picture of it. Okay. It's the second page. Oh, yeah, you got it in front of you now. Okay, so this principle, says Reb Chaim, as follows. You see there, we are looking at the beginning of Perek Dalet in page Vav. And yeah, he says as follows, "V'zot Torat Adam Kol Ish Yisrael," and this is the fundamental principle with regard to human beings and to Am Yisrael specifically. Al Yomar B'Libo Chas V'Shalom. Person should not think, "Ki Ma'ani Umakochi," what? Who am I? What am I worth? I'm like nothing in the scheme of things. How can my lowly actions have any impact on the world? Person should contemplate and understand and fix this in your mind. That every detail of one's actions, v'diburav, and one's speech, and machshavotav, and one's thoughts, call eight v'rega, every moment, are never lost. Everything is captured and everything has an impact. And how great and lofty one's deeds are. Because the deeds, a human being's actions, their impact will be judged by how high they ascend, which is correlated kafi shorsha to the root of that neshama. Lifol pulata begovei meromim baolamot v'tzachzachot ha'arot ha'elyonim. So he says like this. He says this metaphor of the malochim ascending the ladder, and we interpret that to mean the human beings, you know, actions, thoughts, and speech generate these energies, which the reason they travel up is because they have this connection to the source, the root of wherever our neshamas came from. And what we do then travels up to that level at which we operate and has impact from that level down. So the higher the neshama is, the more impact it has. And I was thinking about this. I mean, I've given over the shiur numerous times. Each time I try and look at it from a different angle, but I was just thinking, you know, we've all been talking about, you know, what we think. What was the midat hadin? What generated such a terrible midat hadin now? In our Jewish history with Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, this massacre, and you know. Without saying it in such a way that we want to be absolute about it, because it's ethically challenging to state this absolutely, but we all feel that the Midat HaDin against Am Yisrael was generated by the Sinat Chinam that preceded it. And everybody talks, a lot of us talk, you know, in these tones, you know, that, you know, we had it coming to us. As gruesome as it is. So if you talk that way, if we all think that way, so we ask ourselves, you know, does it correlate? Is it mida connected mida, or it sounds like what we did in the years leading up to this massacre, the amount of hatred that existed. I mean, is that really such a powerful item that the midat hadin that is a result of that is so horrific? One could argue and say, you know, Akash Baruch, what did we do to deserve this? And yeah, this is a perspective on how to appreciate this, because we Taka don't feel this way. We don't. It's not natural for us to feel that every bit of Lashon Hara, every bit of Sina, every bit of any of this that really counts. Like how much does it really count? But Reb Chaim is saying that every single action, thought, and speech, right? Everything. You know, he says, Olaka fi shosha, lif'ol pulata begovei meromim. It ascends up to the level which our neshamas were created from. Now look what he says in that. We'll just skip the insert there and go to the next paragraph in the regular writing. But just see our what he says here. Uve'emet, and in truth, ki ha'ish hechacham ve'yavein et zot la'amito, the wise person who contemplates and understands this principle that he's just explained to us, libo yachil bekirbo bechilu rada. You know, in our language, it should skrik you out second to none. In other words, your heart should tremble inside you when you think of what all this means. That every deed, every action, every thought has such an impact. Is never lost. You know, obviously a person has good deeds too, and therefore they have this, they treat it in a, you know, if not in a better way, but every chait that is done, you have to really realize what it's doing. Ad heichan heima magim lekalkel v'laros v'chait kal chas v'sholem. I mean, this is scary stuff. Now look what he says here. He says, the average Jew, when he sins, is more destructive than the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash by Nebuchadnezzar and Titus. Imagine such a thing. You know, the sinner that came out of Am Yisrael's hearts and mouths, you know, is horrific. It's more horrific than what Hamas did. That's what he's saying here. Why? He says, Ki halo Nebuchadnezzar v'titos lo asu b'masayim shum pegam v'kil kul klal lemala. Because as evil as these people are, and as bad as they are, the damage that they did was, yes, terrible down here on earth, but upstairs in Shamayim, it's not nearly as bad. Why? Because kilolaem chelek v'shoresh bolamot elyonim. Their neshama is of such a low quality; it has no root in the highest of worlds. V'tash kviyachol koach gvura shel mala. Et mikdash Hashem timu kviyachol amikdash elyon. You know, sorry, I missed that line. Rak shebachataenu. But with our chataim, nitma'eit v'tash kiv'yachol koach gvura shel mala. But as a result of spiritual people who have a neshama created from the highest levels, what our aveiras do is they go up to the level that we were created, and there they, in a sense, they impact on a spiritual level which causes destruction in shamayim, and that destruction then plays down on earth. And that's how the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. So he says, yeah, like this. He says, as a result of the sins of the Jewish people, which in a sense, kviyachol dilutes the koyach of HaKosh Baruch Hu to govern on earth, as a result, at Mikdash Hashem Timu, they defiled the Beit HaMikdash in Shamayim. And when you defile, every concept exists on earth because it's a mirror image of something that exists in Shamayim. So when Am Yisrael defiled their lives, yeah, on earth, that energy traveled up to Shamayim and it defiled the Beit HaMikdash in Shamayim, the Mikdash Shalmala. And when the Mikdash Shalmala is defiled and destroyed, then it plays itself out down on earth. And there was nothing for Titus and Nebuchadnezzar to do to the Beit HaMikdash, meaning we already destroyed it. They could easily could destroy it because we destroyed it up in Shamayim, which is but a mirror image of what happens in Shamayim. And this is what Chazal say in Eicha Rabati, in the Midrash Rabbah of Eicha. Kimcha techina techinat. All Titus and Nebuchadnezzar did in the end of the day was to push over they ground flour that was already ground. It's like saying that a person kicked in a door of a house which was already eaten by termites from the inside. So it was nothing to kick it in. It looks like a solid door. You kick it in, the whole place will just crumble. Because our sins destroyed the concept in Shamayim. And they only destroyed what is here on earth. This is a serious bit of musar. This is like scary stuff. So this is what, you know, we have to understand here what this is all about. Now, look what let's go back to the insert there where it says Hagar, you know, the third paragraph on the page, Vav. He says, I want to interpret a statement in Masechet, in Pirkei Avot, which is beautifully interpreted based on what I've just said. The Karov Lishmoa, and it makes sense. Shegam ze bichlal kavanatam zal ba'avot. This is the kavona of Chazal in the Mishnah in Avot, which says as follows: Da mala mala mimcha. You should know who's above you. In other words, you want to stop sinning, focus on who exists above you. Now, that interpretation that I've just given you is the Poshut Pshat. You want to stop sinning, focus on the fact that you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Da, you should know, you know, mala mala mimcha, what is above you, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says Reb Chaim, I want to reinterpret that statement. Rotzel Omar, I think it should be understood as follows. If you cannot see with your own eyes, you know, what damage is done through one's awful activities on earth, you should know, you should know with 100% certainty. Whatever happens in Shamayim is all from you. This is how far your actions reach. Based on what you do, these energies, these malochim, you know, travel with a certain koyach up and down. In other words, da, you know the following principle. Mala mala. What goes on in Shamayim for good and for bad, mimcha, originates from your actions here, you know, on earth, as a result of our actions. That's what happens. So, you know, this is one of the most powerful principles over here that we sometimes don't appreciate the koyach that we have as human beings and more than just human beings. Specifically, as Am Yisrael, because our neshamas are created from the so-called Rosh, the head of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not from his kneecap. Other people's neshamas have come from anywhere else in the so-called metaphorical body of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but because we are, you want to know why Jews are news? You want to know why such a a small population of Klal Yisrael is never free of impact. It's because our neshamas start in the highest levels in Shamayim. And therefore, as a result of this, we have impact. You punch above your weight, far above your weight. And therefore, we have to appreciate both for the good and for the bad. And this is, this is one of the understandings that we need to have when you want to know how Sinat Chinam works. You can't even see, you can't even evaluate none of us can. We can't really appreciate unless you understand and process these ideas. The Lashon Hara, you think, what's it do? It does. It's Horeis Kochot Milamala, and then it plays itself out here. And then, of course, the opposite is also true. We can't walk away without saying the same thing is true whenever you have somebody davening for somebody else or tovat somebody else. Now, often HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't reward us for seeing the Nachas right in front of our eyes, but all the stories of Achdus and Avat Chinam, which is a kapora for the Sinat Chinam, is unbelievable. Now, of course, it doesn't bring back the Kedoshim that have been destroyed and murdered, but that's a cheshbon that we have no license to engage in. But on a certain level, to understand what's happening is this. And I first heard of this Nefesh HaChaim many years ago, like in the mid 90s. I was I was listening to a shiur by Rabbi Isaac Bernstein Zatzal. He was one of the greats of the English rabbinate. And today you can try and download some of his shiurim. I think I've quoted him a couple of times before to you. But anyway, it's in his chus that I learned this, because I heard a shiur from him, in the old days with these cassettes, right? So, a few guys were just handing out these cassettes around. And, I actually became very friendly with his son, Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein, who's this famous author now and a tremendous Talmid Chochem, who he would come to Gush every now and then for a Shabbos, and we hit it off, and I would go to our terrace where he learned at the time. Anyway, he gave me some copies of Shirim from his father. And this is one of the great Chidushim that I learned from him, was this piece in the Nefesh HaChaim. Now, the question, of course, is, what do we think about this? Like, in other words, when we ask ourselves, why do we think that Yaakov Avinu was shown this? I don't remember him suggesting this, but I'm suggesting it. Maybe he did, but yeah, the issue is that Yaakov Avinu is literally, he's going into Golus. The guy's going into exile, and he could be completely and utterly threatened. He has his emunah, etc. But when if he sees the vision that the other Mefarshim talk about, of all the cultures that are going to threaten Klal Yisrael, and he wants to know, especially that last Malach of Edom who ascends and doesn't come down again, and he wonders how are we going to survive? How are we going to survive as a rose among thorns? As a lamb among all these wolves. And the answer is, I'm suggesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him this vision. He showed him the sulam. He showed him the power of the Jewish neshama by demonstrating to him how far up in Shamayim, in the levels of Kedusha, the source of Yaakov Avinu's neshama is, and that he was going to be the conduit, the vehicle by which to bring down all of world Jewry. All the neshamas, are essentially coming down through Yaakov Avinu's line, and that's really what's happening. And once Yaakov Avinu sees the source of Kedusha, the root source of Am Yisrael's neshama, he realizes straight away that a neshama with this level of super impact, can really deep down, it might suffer, it might self-inflict on itself, but it can never be destroyed. And therefore, this is the message that that I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov Avinu on his way out, into Galut, into exile. That you know, you might be wounded, so to speak, like we see next week, but you know, come morning and you'll be okay. And often it looks like we're so vulnerable in the face of all these threats. But the koyach of this kedusha is something that is that cannot be overstated in how precious it is. And therefore, we have to somehow focus on this principle, and perhaps it has enough koyach to cause us to think twice about you know, how we behave. And you know, it's a very, very deep idea, very powerful idea, with scary musar, and I'm hoping as well a tremendous encouragement for all the things that we do, even if we can't really see the nachas straight away in our eyes of what we do. But we have to, we believe that every tefillah, every mishabairach, everything, for every refuah shleima, for everything has a koyach. I mean, the tefillahs are going somewhere. You know, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you know, it's the tefillot shouldn't come reikam, they shouldn't be empty, they should come fulfilled. But not always do we see this result. You know, when the nachas is mamish in front of our eyes, we probably call it a miracle. That's when you actually see it, but we don't realize what the impact is. This is you know, and therefore this is what he states in the beginning of this perek. V'zot Torah Adam Kol Ish Yisrael. Every, especially every Jew, you know, shouldn't think, you know, Ma'ani Makochi, you know, it's I can't do anything. Shuminyan Ba'olam. No, it's exactly the opposite. Everything that we do is never lost. You know, and mamish can have a koyach like you. We can't even imagine. Anyway, we should only have the nachas to be able to see the results of all the good things, and somehow motivate a tshuva process for all the things that aren't good, and you know, hopefully this is a piece that you'll be able to focus on, you know, in the weeks or months ahead. Okay, so I'll leave it there. Wish everybody well, and we'll please God meet again next week.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Nice to see you all.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Zaga Ben. Thank you. Cheers.